Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the new NFL season opened last night when the Patriots of New England beat the Steelers of Pittsburgh, and a reinflated Tom Brady had basically a perfect game with a set of reinflated footballs. And so a new season also started for the team's cheerleaders, who support multi-million dollar sports franchises with cheers, dances, and other game time entertainment. But you might be surprised to learn that in many cases, NFL and NBA cheerleaders and dancers do not even earn minimum wage for their talents and work in those deep-pocketed leagues. Several lawmakers and cheerleaders are working to change that now. We've got a few of them here with us. New York State Senator Diane Savino, who represents parts of Staten Island and Brooklyn. New York State Assemblywoman Neely Rozic, whose district includes Fresh Meadows and Flushing and Oakland Gardens and Queens. And Lisa Murray, a former cheerleader for the NBA's Golden State Warriors, who's been advocating for better wages and unionization for cheerleaders. Senator Savino, welcome back to WNYC. Assemblywoman Rozic.
How are you, Brian?
Good, thank you. Assemblywoman Rozic and Lisa Murray, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So, Lisa, you are, to be precise, a member of an NBA dance team. But I understand many of the responsibilities are similar to that of a cheerleader. Can you tell us a little bit about the work and the workload and the expectations?
Yes, of course. Well, in NBA, we have 41 games. So we're working upwards of 30, 35, sometimes close to 40 hours a week at the peak of the season. You have practices 3 days a week, which last about 3.5, 4 hours. And then on top of that, you have appearances. So you're working close to full time. And like NFL cheerleaders, you're expected to uphold an unrealistic standard of beauty, all while making no money or, if anything, minimum wage.
Beauty and fitness and skill. What are some teams paying cheerleaders and dancers for these jobs?
Well, I mean, I was paid $10 an hour for my first 2 years. My third year was $14 an hour, and you make $20 if you get to a level of being a captain. And there's many teams that do pay minimum wage and are direct employees of the organization, but what we've found over time is that many teams misclassify the women as independent contractors. So they make it mandatory to attend unpaid practices or appearances. So ultimately, we have a lot of teams not making anything.
And I'm going to bring in one of our other guests, because I think everybody knows now that you're at the San Francisco International Airport. So, Assemblywoman Rozic, what about the NFL cheerleaders? What are they paid? And why is the New York State Legislature getting involved in this issue?
So what we have found is that it's not an isolated issue for one or two teams. There are five teams that have brought lawsuits, five squads, rather, that have brought lawsuits to the Bengals, the Raiders, even the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills. So this rampant misclassification is an issue that is affecting lots and lots of cheerleaders across the country. And that's why Senator Savino and I found it necessary to put out legislation and introduce legislation to right this wrong and reclassify these cheerleaders as employees.
And listeners, if you've been a cheerleader at any level, but especially the professional level, or maybe you're one of the Jets cheerleaders right now involved in this lawsuit, along with cheerleaders from several other teams, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Senator Savino, you want to continue on what your legislative solution is?
Sure. First of all, thanks for having us, Brian. As you know, I've been in the Senate now 10 years, and over the 10 years, I've spent a lot of time working on labor law legislation to try and close some of the loopholes that employers all over the country in all aspects of employment try and manipulate their employees through. The exploitation of workers is certainly nothing new. That's why here in New York, we passed the Wage Theft Prevention Act, probably the most comprehensive one in the country, that I was proud to sponsor with Carl Hasty. Also worked on things like misclassification in the construction industry, a rampant project, a rampant problem in the construction industry, misclassification in the trucking industry. And what we're seeing here is just another example of an incredibly wealthy employer, and that's the NFL, exploiting young women for their own personal gain and manipulating them through these loopholes in the labor law. It's what's led to, as Assemblywoman Rozic said, multiple lawsuits against either squads, teams, or the franchise itself. And what we're saying to the NFL is you have a very simple way to solve this problem. You can spend untold amounts of money on legal expenses defending these unfair labor practices, or you could establish a policy across the NFL for all teams that are part of your franchise that says if you have cheerleaders, you must treat them as employees pursuant to whatever the state law is and treat them fairly and compensate them adequately. It's very simple. If not, we'll legislate it in New York. We'll legislate it in other states, but then you have the problem where you have a hodgepodge of legislation, which is not good for the NFL, and it's certainly not good for the cheerleaders. They work every day. They should be compensated just like every other employee that works for the team.
Let's take a phone call. Chris in Melville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hi, my name is Chris Marlborough. I'm an attorney on the Buffalo Jills case, and I thought I'd give you some insights into some of the facts in our case that I think are maybe interesting to everybody in all the lawsuits.
Cool. You know, now, for our listeners who heard you say who you represent, and they're going, wait, what did he – did he say the Buffalo Jills?
That's right.
Yeah.
Buffalo Jills is the cheerleading – was, excuse me, was the cheerleading squad for the Buffalo Bills. But within a couple of days after the lawsuit was filed, management shut down the operations of the cheerleading squad, and they have not been cheering since that time in April 2014.
They haven't had a lot to cheer about, but that's another story.
Yeah, and but in our case, we found out very early on after we filed the complaint that Roger Goodell signed the agreement that provides that the cheerleaders would be classified as independent contractors, which I don't think that there's any serious argument that they're independent contractors, and also that they would not be paid anything for working the Buffalo Bills home games.
Nothing to work home games? Why not?
Oh, well, no. They got a parking pass, and they got a free ticket to the game.
Huh.
But they got paid no cash compensation. And if you ask some of the lawyers on the other side, they'll tell you, well, they got tanning salon services and a number of other free perks that should count instead of money. But, you know, I don't think that, you know,
but it's a job.
Buffalo Bills is, you know, any of their players are deciding not to accept money in favor of tanning salon services or other things like that. But somehow there's obviously just a disgusting double standard with respect to how they treat cheerleaders.
Chris, stay there for a second. Do we have Lisa Murray back, the former cheerleader? Lisa, are you there?
I'm here.
So you were, you know, with an NBA team, Golden
yes.
State Warriors, and you did get paid. But why do you think your colleagues in NFL cheerleading would even do it under the wage conditions that we've been hearing about?
Well, you know what? I think if we look at women in general, you know, over the years, we've really had to work hard for, you know, fair working conditions. And I think as women, you know, we're really trying to teach younger generations of girls to really strive for more and to really go for higher or have higher expectations for themselves. And so I think over time these organizations have just pumped fear into these women and also things that are not factual. You know, a frequent argument or pushback we receive is being told that it's an honor to be an ambassador for these organizations or the position will open doors for us moving forward. But, you know, this is an absurd standard and fallacy, and our job now is to change legislation to protect the rights of these women.
Yeah.
And also teach women to have higher expectations for themselves. I mean, these women have worked for 10, 15 years as dancers to get to this position.
I think they make more announcements at the San Francisco airport than they do at the New York area airport.
If only I could be on that system, that would be great.
Tell them, they probably do other things better, but tell them to be quiet. Chris, let me go back to you. Do you as a lawyer represent the cheerleaders for the various teams in the NFL who are cheerleading, so by extension, who are suing? By extension, do you represent the Jets cheerleaders?
No, I represent the plaintiffs in a class action lawsuit. Ultimately, we're seeking class certification of all of the Buffalo Jills. So that's about 200,
right,
you know, former Jills over the last 6 years.
Thank you very much. So,
and Brian, this is Senator Savino. I just want to make this point that Chris made. It's very, very important. When the Buffalo Jills decided to band together for mutual aid and protection, when they decided to attempt to seek some sort of economic justice for themselves, the way the Buffalo Bills reacted was to suspend the squad, to essentially firing them, which is no different than an employer seeking to fire anyone who attempts to unionize. See, the NFL is mostly concerned that if these young women across all of these teams are determined to be employees under the labor law, it will give them the ability to organize and unionize, and that is what the NFL is most concerned about.
So, Assemblywoman Rozic, there are two tracks to solving this problem. One is the private lawsuit track that the caller was telling us about, and the other is legislative, including you in the Assembly.
Yes, and I would actually add that there's a third track, that Roger Goodell and the league should just, you know, show some leadership and put out a policy, as Senator Savino said, to pay their cheerleaders. Plain and simple, it's a drop in the bucket if we're talking about the NFL, which is a billion-dollar industry. Roger Goodell took home $44 million last year alone, and, you know, they just, in the last fiscal year, gave a $226 million bonus to each team. So they can certainly show value to their cheerleaders and pay them equally.
Isn't Roger Goodell's job as NFL commissioner to try to minimize what the team's owners pay out to the unions? I think that's kind of the whole, even behind the Tom Brady thing, is Roger Goodell versus the union, because that's part of his job description.
I think he's suffered enough losses for one season. And
and we go on. Is this going to come to a vote? Senator Savino, we have 15 seconds.
Absolutely. It'll be one of my priority bills for the minute we go back into session.
New York State Senator Diane Savino, Staten Island, parts of Brooklyn, New York State Assemblywoman Neely Rozic, parts of Queens, Fresh Meadows, Flushing, and Lisa Murray, former cheerleader for the Golden State Warriors of the NBA. Good luck with all this. I'm glad we brought it a little more to light. Happy opening day of the NFL season for any of you who care, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Bye, guys.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.